Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Christian friends, I remember well the first time that I went to Germany. It was my first cross-cultural experience. And when I came downstairs that first morning, I had some expectations. I had, after all, eaten cereal and milk for just about every single day of my life up until that point. And when I came down, the breakfast table was not spread with cereal and milk in Germany. There were these strange rolls, and there was sausage, and there was cheese, and there was lard to spread on these rolls, and they called it breakfast. Well, the morning I sort of choked it down, and evidently the lady of the house recognized that I was a little uncomfortable. So the next morning when I came down for breakfast, oh, she was proud. She brought in, she said, "I've been to the grocery store and I've gotten some American breakfast for you." And she presented me proudly with a box of cornflakes, the most boring and disgusting breakfast cereal known to man. Cross-cultural experiences. That was my first experience of some other culture doing something completely different. And what I want to explore with you this morning is for those of us who have been united in Christ, for those of us who seek to take the word of Christ to the nations, does our unity in Christ, does our mission to the world depend on doing everything exactly the same? Put another way, do all Christians have to eat the same thing for breakfast? That's what I want to explore with you this morning. If you would, take out your text. There are pew Bibles in front of you. Ephesians chapter 3, it's page 977 in the pew Bible in front of you, or you can use your phone, what have you. Ephesians chapter 3, just read, but to dig into these words a little bit more. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." Now, the English tries to do a decent job of translating what was a Greek play on words. Let me insert the Greek two Greek words into the text again so you can see a little bit of the Greek play on words. Paul actually writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the pater, from whom every patria in heaven and on earth is named." Makes a little bit more sense, pater and patria. Just what were these patria that Paul had in mind? He evidently had some different kinds of groups that were all pointing to one father, but who were these patria? Well, some commentators have said that these were perhaps the various groups of Christians within the Ephesian church. There were Gentile Christians, there were Jewish Christians, different kinds of patria. Paul would write to these groups of people, and I think that at least one of the goals of the letter to the Ephesians is that these different patria within the church would be unified, that Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians would be unified. There's even a textual variant, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," some texts say, to point that these patria are all united to the one Father, reconciled to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't surprising to us today. Even within the church today, there are still these patria, parties, if you will, different crowds of folks, even within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Some stress confession, some stress mission, and sometimes people have trouble getting along with each other. Perhaps that's what Paul has in mind when he says patria. Other commentators have talked about how these patria, the word used in the common Greek language, referred to different kinds of people groups, different kinds of nation states, Romans, Greeks, Parthians, Medes. That's maybe what Paul has in mind. I think another goal that Paul had as he was writing to the letter to the Ephesians was to address the Ephesian Christians who were worried that Paul had been put into prison by some ungodly people. They had imprisoned him, and in verse 13 he says, "So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." These evil patria, whom, yes, it is true, they were not reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ, were nevertheless estranged from the Father. Still one Father, but all these different patria throughout the world, and Paul's mission was to reach them. The question that I'd like to put to you this morning, whatever the patria are, there are a variety of groups. Will Paul then argue, since there are differences in the church, that you must all be the same in everything you do, the language you speak, the clothes you wear, the things you eat for breakfast in the morning? That was, after all, the way of the ancient world. The Jews had done a very good job of saying that we have one religion and culture. Religion and culture were completely wedded together. There were even these dividing walls. The priests could go into one part of the temple, the lay Israelites into another lesser part. Then there were places for men and women to be separated, and we know that there was a dividing wall between the court of the Gentiles and true Jewish Israelites. Martin Charlemagne, in his little study, The Secret of God's Plan, studies in Ephesians, says that there were also fences around the law. Things like a holy language, holy food, holy calendars, if you will, all served to keep Jewish people separated from those dirty, vulgar Gentiles. And conversion meant that people converting to Judaism would take on all of these new things and leave behind their entire way of life. It was true for the Athenians as well. Herodotus says that there were these Athenians gathered before the Persian War, and he says that they all had, we Greeks, we all have the same language, we all have the same culture, we all make the same sacrifices, and if some Greeks are going to betray those, that would be a problem. They would no longer be Greeks. Cultural treason. So does Paul mean that when we become united in Christ, that there are no longer different patria within the church, that we must all do the exact same thing? No, that's not the way Paul argues. Instead, he points to a different way for people to be unified. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It was into the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that people would be united in the church. It was around the cross of Christ that people would be united. Very different sorts of people, Jewish fishermen and tax collectors and zealots. There would be Jewish Christians and Ephesian Christians all gathered together around one Lord Jesus Christ. You too
who have been baptized into the faith are now part of this one body. And yet, I don't think Paul meant that we all had to dress the same, talk the same, eat the same. There were, after all, these patria. And Paul maintains this paradox that in the one hand we are united in Christ, and on the other hand, we are still human beings with the variety of languages, cultures. And that's why Paul prays this prayer. Look at verse 16 through 19 with me. Paul prays that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you, those of the various patria, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Different groups within the church, all united in one Lord Jesus Christ. Great implications for how we treat one another. Great implications for how we do church together. Great implications for how we reach out to other people who speak very differently, or eat very differently, or dress very differently. The gospel is indeed for Jewish Christians and Ephesian Christians, for those that would stress varieties of things but find their unity in one Lord Jesus Christ, for black, for white, for Hispanic, for German, for professionals, for underground gamers, for hipsters, and for goth, all united in one Lord Jesus Christ. And that love of Christ, my prayer is that you would continue to explore the breadth and length, height and depth of that love of Christ that reaches out to all these people. And so, we close with the great words of one Martin Fransman, who in his hymn, O God, O Lord of Heaven and Earth, spoke these words. O Spirit, who didst once restore thy church that it might be again the bringer of good news to men, breathe on thy cloven church once more, that it might in these gray and latter days there may be those whose life is praise, each life a high doxology to Father, Son, and unto thee. Amen.